We are continuing with our study in the book of Revelation. We are going into chapter 14 today. Amen? So, let's all turn to Revelation chapter 14. Amen? Open up your Bibles. Get to the chapter. Amen? And let's talk about it. All right? Now, this chapter 14 introduces a series of visions. Amen. It speaks of redemption, divine judgment. Amen. It depicts the Lord standing victoriously as the Lamb of God. Amen. It's visions, it's judgment, it's wrath, it's salvation and redemption, divine retributions, and faithfulness and endurance. That's basically what it's about. So let's go to verse 1, and let's read, and we're going to take this in sections. Let's read from verse 1 through verse 5 in this chapter. Amen? Amen. And it says, then I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 who had his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the sound of many waters, like the sound of loud thunder. And the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one was able to learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. These are the ones who have not defiled themselves with women, for they are celibate. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been purchased from mankind as the first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And no lie was found in their mouths. They are blameless. Now, we saw the 144,000 before, right? We spoke of them before. The 12,000 from each tribe of Israel, right? Mm-hmm. So here we're seeing them again. I just want to say one thing about the book of Revelation. It's not necessarily in chronological order. Visions pop in and pop out. And the time sequence is not chronological. You see one thing and then all of a sudden you see another thing. And it gets a little confusing, okay? So what is this? What is this about? What is this about? The 144,000, the Lamb of God. There are a lot of different opinions. Some people say, this is not happening. This is God in heaven. This is not on earth. This is that. But what it is that John is getting these visions from the Lord. But like I said, they're not in time order. So you have 144,000. We spoke about them. So what does this mean? This vision. This is what I'm trying to say. This is not happening at the moment. Mm-hmm. This is a vision that John gets of the future. And he sees 144,000 in heaven with the Lamb. Mm. So who is the Lamb? They're with Jesus, right? They're with Jesus. So what he has seen is that they have died and they've been redeemed. Mm-hmm. But they haven't died yet. They haven't died yet.
No.
They haven't died yet. What section of the tribulation are we studying? The second half, right?
Second half.
Yes. The second half. That's when the 144,000 are ministering, and the two witnesses are ministering, because the first half of the tribulation has been peaceful. But the second half is when all the rebellion takes place. Amen. We have the Antichrist, which we spoke about him last week or last month, right? He shows up in the second, I mean, we identify him really as the Antichrist in the second half of the tribulation. Amen. So we see them. And look what the word says. They're standing on Mount Zion. That's a picture of the day of the Lord. That's a picture of the end times. Amen. I wish that, I hope that you, that I know some of you haven't been with us and following this, so it may be a little confusing, so I'm sorry about that. But this is a vision, okay? And, you know, they're standing on Mount Zion. That happens at the end, when the day of the Lord comes. And it says they're singing a song before the throne of God. They're singing a new song. So we see that before the Lord, they are special, right? They are the first fruits, right? Isn't that what it said? They are, let me see where it says. I cannot find it. But they're the first fruits, which means that God has, how shall I say, specially elected them, right? The Word of God says that they're virgins, that they're celibate, that there is no lie in their mouth. There's no lie. And that God has given them a song that only they can sing. Right? Nobody else can learn the words of that song, for they're special before God. So this is showing you a vision of the end times when they're in heaven with the Lord. Amen? Glory to God, glory to God. They're faultless. They're singing before the throne of God. Amen? Amen. Do we get that?
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
You know, what is the first fruits? Remember when the Lord said, you know, all during the Old Testament, the first fruits belong to God?
To God, yes.
Why? Because the first fruits, when you would harvest, right, in a farm, well, let's put it in today's thought processes. You have a farm, and you have fruit that's excellent, and you have fruit that hasn't come out so good, right? So the first fruit is the best.
The best.
We have a depiction of the best belonging to God.
Yes.
You have to give your best to God. You can't half-step with God.
Yes.
You can't give God your crumbs. You can't give God your leftovers in whatever area of giving which we speak about. God wants the best. He wants the first fruits. Why? Because that shows that your dependence is totally on God. That you're not looking for man for provision. You know that if you give your best fruit, if you give your best time, if you give your best worship, if you give your best finances, if you give your best of everything to God, He's going to take care of you.
Amen. Amen.
But first, don't, if you're going to worship God, if you're going to worship God, don't worship God and have something else on the TV. If you're going to worship God, don't be doing computer work and worshiping God. You're not giving God your best. God wants the first fruits. And these 144,000 are the first fruits given to God, elected by God, selected by God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So now we go to a different section, and I would like someone to read verses 6 and 7. And I'll take any volunteers. You know, I always ask for help in the reading. Anybody?
Yeah, I'll do it.
Amen. Amen.
Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water.
Hmm. Wow. Have you ever heard of an angel?
Revelations 14, 6 and 7.
Amen. Amen. Have you heard of an angel preaching the gospel?
No.
You haven't heard of an angel. The gospel is given to men to preach. Right? So this again, what's going on here? How is it that an angel is preaching the gospel? Well, again, this is the end time. This is the end. It's a vision of the end. So what does it tell you? That when an angel is preaching the gospel, the 144,000 must be in heaven. The two witnesses must be in heaven. Again, end times. End times. It's not happening in this chapter. It's just visions of the end times. Right? What did the 144,000, what were they commissioned to do while on earth? To preach the gospel. So if they're preaching the gospel, you don't need an angel to preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And the two witnesses, if they're still alive, then you don't need an angel to preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So this again tells you that this is the end times. This is after when the day of the Lord, when the Lord comes back, right? When the Lord comes back to, I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay? So this is actually the end of the tribulation. Amen?
So this is the end of the second half with the angel?
Yes. Because now, remember that the 144,000 are going against the Antichrist, right? Because
mm-hmm.
now the Antichrist is ruling.
Mm-hmm.
And remember that there's one world religion.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not supposed to be preaching. And the two witnesses, remember, they were preaching and they were killed. And then God resurrected them and then God took them up to heaven.
Right.
This is all during that end time. So now they're no longer there. Right? The 144,000 are gone. Aha. Because the Antichrist is persecuting and killing anyone that preaches another religion. They have a one world religion. You see that... That's why men and women, we constantly have to share that you don't want to be here during the second half or even the whole tribulation. You don't want to be here. Our children don't want to be here. When you give them, when you get a chance, I keep saying this, give them a word. Tell them the Lord is coming soon. You don't have to hit them over the head with a hammer. Plant the word, plant the seed, and God will send somebody else to water that seed.
Amen.
You may not see them come to the Lord, but they may come to the Lord after we're gone. I mean, after, you know, when we're
yeah.
gone is what
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because, you know, but it's very important, amen, because the Antichrist is going to be persecuting. So here you have, these all have to be in heaven, amen?
Mm-hmm.
There's no need for God to send an angel to preach the word if the 144,000 are still on the earth.
I'm still on the earth doing it.
That was what they were commissioned to do. And
wow.
the two witnesses, that's what they were doing, preaching the word, amen, and judging. And, you know, they not judging, but whoever attacked them, they had God had given them the ability to attack back. You guys do remember that, right? With fire came out of their mouth and so on and so forth. Amen? So let's go to Revelation verse 8. Somebody will read verse 8.
And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication.
Amen. So here's another angel announcing. the fall of Babylon. Amen? Amen? So who is Babylon? That's what your question should be. Who is Babylon? What is this all about? Well, if you go to Revelation, amen, 17:18, it says, you know, go there. Go to Revelation 17:18. And someone read what it says there.
17:18?
Yes, Revelation chapter 17. Yes.
And the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth.
Okay. Bible will always interpret itself. So this is a city. This is a city. This is something that is actually on the earth. Okay? And this city rules over the kings of the earth. Okay? Now, somebody read Revelation, again, Mark, chapter 17, verses 1 to 2. If you're there, go ahead and read it.
Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls, had the seven bowls.
Bowls.
Uh-huh. This came and talked with me, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with wine.
I can't hear Mark.
Do you want me to read three, verse three?
Where am I? No, it says I didn't hear the last few words that you said. And fornication and the inhabitants of the earth, right?
Were made drunk with the wine of her fornication.
Mm. Okay. Again, it's talking about somewhere, some city, right? That sits on many waters. When you speak of many waters, it speaks of many nations in the Bible. So there's a city that has some kind of a control over many nations. And then Revelation 17:5 goes on and says, and on her forehead the name was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of abominations of the earth. Now, we can get into who that is. Just bear in mind, it's a city, okay, mm-hmm. that seems to have some type of control over the kings of the earth, over the rulers of the earth,
yes.
and has caused a lot of what God says are abominations. Now, I don't want to go into that because chapter 17 will fully go into who this city is.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to go into that. But there is some place on the earth, right, that has influence all the nations, and it's a place, it's a city, okay? And it has influenced them negatively. And so God is going to bring judgment on that city. So again, this is telling you about the end times. These are all visions of the end times, but it's out of order because later on we'll see these things happening. So it's like giving you a glimpse of what is going to happen. So are you all okay without me going any further into that?
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. chapter 17 is going to. So this is what I would say. Read ahead. Next month we do 15, then 16, then 17. If you read ahead, I think it will.
Yeah.
Amen. All right. So we're going to leave that. All right? Okay, so that city is going to be judged by God, and that city is going to be destroyed by God. Now, verse 9. Will somebody read verse 9?
Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hands,"
keep reading, Lisa.
He himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Keep going?
Yes.
And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name.
Oof. Amen. Oof. That's rough, right?
Yeah. Oof.
Amen. So what do we so let me say this. We read a lot about the cup of the wrath of the Lord. And it's in the Old Testament and it's in the New Testament. So and then we read that they're made to drink of that cup, right? Didn't we just read that? He also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God. Mm-hmm. Now, is there a cup with wine, or is there a cup that, no, that's symbolic.
No, that's symbolic.
That's symbolism. Mm-hmm. But, okay, and it says, so they will drink of the cup of the wrath, okay, of God, okay? Now, this idea of the cup, okay, the wrath of God. Let me say this. Do you remember when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane? And he said, "Lord, if it's your will, take this cup from me."
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that has to do with that. The cup of the wrath of God. What was Jesus doing when he went to the cross? He stood in our place, right?
Yes.
Our sins.
Yes.
And he paid the price for them, right?
Yes.
The judgment that we would have gotten had Jesus not died on the cross was torment and severe. Mm. But he took the wrath of the cup of God in our place. That's why he said, if it's your will, take this cup from me, because he knew the wrath that was coming, the judgment that was coming to all unbelievers.
Yes.
So that's what that has to do with. Now, we see. Okay. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But we see, what we see, right? It says here, okay, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives the mark on his hand or forehead, right? Understand? Mm-hmm. The mark of the beast?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Okay? So what's being shown here is the beginning, amen, is the beginning of the initiation of the mark of the beast, showing us that there will be people that will accept this mark, whatever it is, if it's digital form or whatever, on the earth again during the second half of the tribulation. Amen. Mm-hmm. They will accept this mark. Why? What is it? It's an economic system, right?
Yes.
They won't be able to buy or sell without the mark. Mm-hmm. And if mothers, this is what I said before, it's a hard time. What about
hard.
What about mothers with children that have to feed their children? Many will be tempted to take the mark of the beast. And that's sad. I mean, that's sad. Horrific. You know? That they will lose their soul so they can feed their children. That's why you gotta keep telling your people, give them the word, not with a hammer. Don't hit them over the head with the word. just give them the word. Tell them what the word says about the end times. And are they going to laugh at you? Yes. Are they going to mock you? Yes. But I'm willing to be mocked for the salvation of my loved ones. Amen.
That's right.
You know? So that's the initiating of that. And what else is that mark of the beast initiating? The one world religion. There will be a one world worship system. You can't worship God during the tribulation, the God of Israel, the God that we know. You can't worship him during the tribulation. If you do, you will be killed. If you do, the Antichrist finds out that you're doing it, they will be killed. Because there will be people that will worship God. There will be people that will get saved during the tribulation. Why? Because of what we told them, of what we shared with them, of how we instructed them. They will say, Mom and Dad were right. They're gone. They went up in the rapture. And here am I. And everything they told me is happening. So I'm going to have to lose my life so I can save my life.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. What does this say? Fire and brimstone. Didn't we read that? Fire and brimstone?
Mm-hmm.
Look what it says. Wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger. And, you know, they will be tormented with fire and brimstone. That means hell.
Uh-huh.
That means that they will go to hell. And they will be burned forever and ever. Oh, my God. I don't fully understand that. It's hard. I understand it, but it's hard to
imagine
it's right.
And kind of receive it. But you say, how could it be forever? Hell. But that's what the word says. I have to believe that God will take every memory, because he says he's going to wipe away every tear. He's going to take every memory away, because if you have memory of your loved ones in hell, you're going to suffer. Mm-hmm. So God is going to remove all that memory. But at the same time, we're here and right now, and we know our children and our loved ones, and we don't want them to go through that. But that's what it says. Hallelujah. And then God says, and then he says in verse 12, here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. Did you see that in verse 12?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what's that about? That's just God telling those that are still on the earth during the tribulation that haven't taken the mark of the beast, persevere, keep my commandments, because you're going to have life. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. It says, here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. They will not go through this. Again, those during the tribulation that have not accepted the mark of the beast. They may be alive, hiding. They may be hidden, many of them. But many will be killed because they will be found by the armies of the Antichrist. Remember, this is going to be a one world order. You've heard of the one world, right? The one world government system, where all authority is going to be given to this man, and he's going to rule the world. What is this? So many, you know, you think about the United Nations and the pull they have on all the nations. Could you imagine all, you know the United Nations has an army, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep. You imagine all, and this is going to happen, all the nations are going to give authority to this one world order. And he and the Antichrist can call on all over the world, he's going to rule, and to call on people to seek out those of that haven't received the mark of the beast and kill them.
Mm-hmm.
We need to know these things, not for us to get depressed, but for us to continue to put forth the word of God, love our children, mm-hmm. give them the information, however it is that you can give them, look, we're going to go up in the rapture. We're not going to be here during the tribulation. I don't want you to be here. Accept the Lord. Love him. I'm not talking about a church. I'm talking about relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Amen? There's a way that you can find to speak to your loved ones. It's not a church. The churches, it's not the churches. It's those that love the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart, with all their mind, all their strength, and ask him to direct their path. Mm-hmm. Tell your children. I tell them, seek the will of God. Ask God what he wants you to do about this. Ask God. That's the main thing. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
So we have a verse, hallelujah. Again, verse 13. Somebody read verse 13, please.
Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, that's the Spirit, that they may rest from their labor and their works follow them.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So again, what is this? This is speaking to those that have not given up their faith in the Lord and have died during the tribulation. Amen. He says, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. From now on. You got to pick up all these little words when you're reading the scripture. It's speaking about the tribulation. So blessed are the dead who die during that period that have not given up their faith. Amen. So these are the martyrs of the tribulation. Right? The martyrs,
yes.
Those who have been killed for the sake of Christ during the tribulation. They made a mistake. They didn't go up in the rapture, but now they recognize it. And they refuse now to do what the Antichrist wants, to receive the mark. So they're the martyrs of the tribulation. And in contrast to those that we read about before that have received the mark of the beast and are condemned, right? And are suffering brimstone and fire and torment. Amen. These are blessed. Amen.
Amen.
These are blessed. God is going to compensate them. Amen. It says, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. Their good deeds, what they did with this, what they did for the Lord, God will compensate them for being faithful. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. They are worthy of their reward. Amen. For they have suffered much. Amen. Of whatever, however God blesses them, they're worthy of it now. Because they, because they stood firm during the reign of terror. This is going to be a reign of terror during the tribulation. And they stood firm. Like I said, they died. They were willing to die. They are the martyrs. Amen. Let's go to verse. Let's read verse 14 through 16.
Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, trust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So he who sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped.
Amen. So again, right? We have a picture of a harvest, right? When the harvest is ripe, you reap the harvest, right? You take the harvest, right? Okay, so who is this? Who is this? It says he's on a white cloud. Right, he's sitting on a white cloud, He's one like the Son of Man with a golden crown. Who is that?
One like.
But it says like the Son of Man.
Yeah, the like.
Right.
So but it can't be.
But it can't be an angel. It can't be an angel.
Right. Nope.
Because an angel's not going to have a crown.
Nope. Oh, goodness.
This is the Lord Jesus. The consensus is that this is the Lord Jesus because he's a crown. He's coming as the King of Kings. Amen. When he reaches the earth, he's coming as the King of Kings. Amen. He holds the sickle to reap. It's going to be a harvest of the judgment of God on the wicked. He's coming to judge. He's coming to judge. If to whom was authority given to judge?
Christ the King.
Yeah, to Jesus. That's right. If you read John 5:5, you read verses 22 and 23, the Father says, all judgment I've given to the Son. So he's not the angels, so this can't be an angel. This has to be Jesus, the Lord, but he's not coming as a lamb. He's on a white cloud now as the Son of Man, and he's coming to judge those living on the earth. He's coming to judge the wicked. This is what's called the Day of the Lord. The Day of the Lord, I taught on that maybe a year or two ago, on the Day of the Lord, when the Lord comes to bring judgment on the wicked. Amen. This is before the millennium. Because remember that when who's going into the millennium? It's not the wicked. The wicked are not going into the millennium, to the thousand-year reign. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So he's come to judge. He's come to judge the wicked. Amen. It's judgment. They're going to be killed and they're going to die. They're not going to come into the millennial reign. Amen. Only those that are have accepted the Lord. Jews that have been sheltered and protected coming into the millennium. Mm-hmm. So this is the Lord Jesus, amen? And this
why does it say like the Son of Man?
It could be the translation. Well remember mm-hmm. who's looking at this? Who is seeing this vision?
John
is a man.
Yeah.
John can't say this is Jesus.
Yeah,
right.
Everything there points to this is Jesus. This
yes.
cannot be an angel. An angel cannot wear a crown.
Mm-hmm.
The angels are not depicted with crowns. It's 24 mm-hmm. elders have crowns that they throw before the Lamb. Amen? So mm-hmm. he's saying, like the Son of Man.
Okay.
Do you remember on the Mount of Transfiguration? Who was mm-hmm. there? John, Peter, and I think it was Andrew, right?
Peter, James, and John.
They were there at the Mount of Transfiguration, and the Lord transfigured. They saw a vision of the Lord in all his glory. They saw Jesus, the man, transfigured.
Yeah.
So he's got an idea. This one looks like the Son of Man. He saw the Son of Man.
Yes. Yes.
You get what I'm trying
to say? I understand that. Yes.
All right. And always remember that. Remember I told you that John is seeing things that he's got to try to explain.
Yeah.
You know?
And he can only explain
it according to his limited knowledge. He's seeing future things.
Yes.
Amen? Okay.
Amen.
So 17, let's read. We're finishing up. Let's read verse 17. Let's see, through 19. 17 through 19. Please, somebody read it.
Then another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, who had power over fire, and he cried with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, "Thrust in your sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe."
Amen, amen. So you might ask, why is the angel telling the Lord what to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
maybe he's called. Not. Maybe it's an interpretation. Maybe he's telling us what the Lord is going to do, as opposed to telling the Lord. Because I don't think the angel is going to tell the Lord what to do.
Right.
So I think he's announcing what the Lord is about to do. Amen. So it says, so the angel swung his sickle. Now, who's doing it? The angel is swinging the sickle. Again, you have command. God is the one that judges. God is the one that brings judgment. But in this case, God is telling the angel, the Lord is telling the angel, swing the sickle, commanding him to do it. Judgment comes from the Lord. And it says, and gather the clusters from the vine of the earth and throw them in and threw them into the great winepress of the wrath of God. Amen. Oof. So what is that? What? Let me just turn this thing off so we don't hear anything. So what is it? Again, right? What does this mean? Threw them into the wine press of the wrath of God. So during that time, making wine was very common, right?
Yes.
During the time of the Lord, and it still is. But at that time, how did they make the wine? Amen. They threw it in a wine press, and they stepped on it with their feet. They kept crushing it with their feet. So it gives you that picture of being crushed. Mm. The wine comes down. The judgment of God is going to
trample down the believers.
Crush. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So the wine press, the grapes in the wine press represent the wicked, because we're not going to be crushed by God. Only the wicked are going to be crushed. Amen. God will gather the wicked for the final judgment when he pronounces judgment on them. Amen. And then we have verse 20. Can somebody read verse 20?
And the winepress was trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the winepress.
Oh my God.
Up to the horses' bridles.
Right.
For 1,600 furlongs. Wow.
Wow.
Okay. So this passage, again, uses the symbolism of the wine press, right?
Yes.
So we see that for the wicked. Okay. So, and I already said this, just like the grapes are crushed, right, to produce wine, and they're broken to release the wine, amen, the bodies of God's enemies will be smashed. Amen. In a bloody defeat.
Yes.
So when you take this in absolutely literal terms, amen, we said 1,600 stages, you said furloughs, and I have stages, the same thing. But what that means is 180 miles. Amen. And what that describes, a cascade of blood. Amen. A cascade of blood. Some blood and carnage, some 5 or 6 feet high for 180 miles.
So is this a battle that was being fought, and that is it
this is the end. This is when the Lord comes. This is before Armageddon. This is not Armageddon. This is at the end of the tribulation. And these are the people that took the mark of the beast during the tribulation, And this is what's going to this is what's going to happen at that time. Amen. So I gave you that. So the point is that Jesus will definitely defeat his enemies at the end of the tribulation with absolute and terrible, destruction. Because at the end of the tribulation, we have the 1,000-year millennium, right? In the 1,000-year millennium, children are going to be born, right? And they will not have known the Lord. So they will be sin. They will sin during the millennium. They will maybe refuse to accept the Lord. Amen.
Even though he's in their midst.
Even though, because it says after that you have the war of Armageddon, where the Lord comes against the nations that went against Israel. So what do you make of it? Okay, so it could be. That's why I'm saying this stuff is not in chronological order at all. This again continues to tell you what's going to happen to the wicked. Amen. Let me just give me a thought here. So during the millennium, no, the Lord will be with them. They will be fine. What happens is at the end of the millennium, Satan will be released.
Mm. Right.
Remember? So they will be serving the Lord during the millennium, but then Satan will be released and to spread, his ascension among the people and among the nations. Then after that comes the war of Armageddon. So whether this refers to that time period or the time period that the Lord is coming at the end of the tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
It could be either or, But as I researched this, it said that it had to do with the day of the Lord. That's after the tribulation when he comes to bring judgment on these people. Because if he doesn't judge them,
he's not God.
If he doesn't judge them, why can't they go into the tribulation, the millennium?
Right.
Why can't they go in? But he's going to bring judgment, and only those that are saved, that believe in the Lord, that have not accepted the mark of the beast, those are the people that are going into the millennium.
Mm. But the millennium is a 1,000-year reign.
Yeah.
So those that are being born, Christ is here on earth, right? Yeah. During mm-hmm. that 1,000-year reign. So are these people going to live 1,000 years? Because how...
I don't know, but why can't they, why can't they die?
Right. That'd be a lot of people.
But if they die, where is their judgment? Because they didn't know Christ. Because
the judgment comes at the end, and it's the great white throne judgment. And it says that those that are in the sea will be brought up. And the great white throne judgment is basically the wicked are going to be judged, and we're not going to be judged. We're going to receive rewards, and that's called the Bema Seat of Christ. So the great white throne judgment, there are going to be books open, and there's going to be a book of life. So we're not going to be judged, but in the book of life, it's going to have the names of those that are not going to be condemned.
Amen.
So Amen. The white throne judgment isn't taking place yet. It takes place at the end. So these people, they can die. They just haven't been resurrected for judgment yet. I don't think they're not in hell, because we haven't taught on hell, but hell has different compartments. Amen. And there's a compartment for unbelievers But they haven't been judged yet. They haven't been thrown into the lake of fire. So there's two different things. We have to study on, we have to do a teaching on hell and the lake of fire. They're two different
things. Is that like purgatory? They always call it purgatory, the Catholics.
But it's not purgatory, because purgatory in the Catholic religion has to do that we can pray for
that's
these
a waiting place.
Waiting place, but we can pray for them so that the Virgin Mary and others they can get
okay.
saved.
So yeah, got
it. We don't believe in purgatory.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have to do a teaching on hell and the compartments of hell. So we can move forward from there. So, okay, I think that's it. I think we're good.
Woo-hoo!
I think, you know, time is coming. There's a time coming.
Amen.
And the Lord is going to rain judgment.
Amen.
And,
yes.
Amen.
I'm going to get rewards.
Yes. Yeah. The faithful, the believers will be rewarded. The unbelievers will be condemned. Remember, there's a passage that says he's going to separate the sheep from the goats.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Great white throne judgment. That's when that will take place. So my opinion is that these people have died, and they just haven't, they're in hell, but they're not in the lake of fire.
Oh, amen. Okay.
Like Lazarus. When Lazarus was with, I think, Abraham, and one of the rich men were calling to him,
mm-hmm.
and there was a chasm between them.
Exactly. That's
that
right.
They were tormented. He was so tormented by
absence
of God.
And he said, Lazarus was in the bosom of Abraham. In the bosom of Abraham. And there was a gulf, and I don't remember the whole story, but it was, let me go and tell them, you know, and he said, there's a great chasm, and we can't go back and forth. The separation. We got to do a teaching on hell, Pastor.
Yes.
Recording stopped.